Okay? We're going to talk about three distinct stages in the process of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Stage one is what was classically done, and this is true throughout the entire Bias Rishon and during the time of Yehuda Anasi. So we discussed until now just what Al-Pi Ari'i is and what Al-Pi Cheshbon is. And that for most of the time period, all the time period, the Beis HaMikdash is, the Tanoim, and even to the middle of the Amoraim, they did it Al-Pi based it, Ri'iyah. At a certain point, they switched to a Cheshbon. So we're now going to discuss, during this whole time period, during the time period of Ri'iyah and during the time period of Cheshbon, what happened in Chutz La'aretz. Throughout, for the major time period of the Ri'iyah, so let's just explain a little bit more what was the relationship between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So once they knew what day was Rosh Chodesh, they needed to tell everybody, how are people going to know which day is Rosh Chodesh? Now Rosh Chodesh itself is not so important. You know, like are they going to like wear their white shirt or have like bagels that morning for breakfast? That wasn't really the issue. The issue was much more if that month had a holiday in it, they needed to know which day was Aleph. You're going to be keeping Pesach. You need to know which day should I be eating chametz and which day can I not be eating chametz. Which day is the mitzvah of matzah? Which day is not the mitzvah of matzah? Rosh, the first day of Pesach, I'm not going to put tefillin on. Mitzvah d'oraisa. I need to know which day is the right day, which day is the wrong day. So the first way that they informed people in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael, but specifically in Bavel, where a lot of the Jews were, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so they lit fires. And we saw already a Mishnah about this. When did they light the fires? They lit the fire in the following situation. When the Eidim came on the 30th, remember we had 29 days passed, which you always have to have 29 days. Now, once the day of the 29th has ended, it's Shkia. 29 days are done. Everyone is looking up in the sky to see, are we going to see a new moon tonight? And meaning that tonight and tomorrow are Rosh Chodesh. Are we going to see a moon? So on that night, when the Eidim saw it on that night, the night of the 30th, and they came in, everyone's okay with the numbers here? Like, should I draw on the board or we're good? 29 days. Right on the board? No, we're good. 29 days. It's now day 30, which is potential number one for Rosh Chodesh. If the Eidim actually saw it that day. So, towards the end of the day, meaning the next day, they were Mekabel Eidim during the day. The Eidim saw it at night. They would travel to Yerushalayim. They would see, they would proclaim Rosh Chodesh in Yerushalayim. And that evening, they would light torches. Now, you realize that lighting a torch can things could travel very, very quickly. You light a torch outside of Yerushalayim on a high mountain. They can see it. I don't know, 100 miles away, 150, as soon as they see it, and they're waiting. Remember, that night is the night that, again, we're now talking about towards the end of the 30th day. I'm going to draw it just for myself also, okay? We've got a 29-day period, okay? And now it's Shkia. It's night. It's the end of 29 days. So this night, okay, this is night. Everyone's waiting to see. Are we going to see the new moon? Now here's the next day. This is day 30, right? A night and a day. Okay? A night and a day. Day 30. So, let's say this night they would see, they would come in the morning, they would cross-examine them, in the afternoon they would cross-examine them. Then this night is the critical night. Because is this Aleph, or is the next day going to be Aleph? Okay? A night and a day. So we needed to know. So this night, on the mountaintops, they'd be waiting to see, is there going to be a fire? So if they got Eidim that day, and this day was Rosh Chodesh, they would light torches that night. And we'll light a torch 100 miles away, they would see it, they would light another torch 100 miles away. In an hour, in even less than an hour, they can get the word all the way out to Bavel. So this was an amazing method for spreading the word. Now when you saw a fire, what did that mean? It meant the previous day was Rosh Chodesh. They would light it at the end of the day to say the previous day, the day that just ended, was Rosh Chodesh. And tomorrow is Beis already. That's when you saw a fire, you knew from now forward was Beis.
What do you do about
that? Hold on one second. You're right. In the Beis HaMikdash, so that would be a question of at what point did they come? That was one of the issues with Rosh Hashanah. Did they get in early enough to bring the karbanos of the day, to say the shir for that day? You learn Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That's what it deals with, these issues. If no Edom came that night, or saw it that night and didn't come that day, so everyone would be up on their mountaintops waiting. There would be no fire. And then everyone would know that the next day was Rosh Chodesh, that this was Rosh Chodesh. There would be no fires lit. You don't need to light fires. If no fire was seen, this is the fire night. If no fire was seen on this night, they didn't need to light fires. Everyone knew that day 31, right? This is day 30, this is day 31. You know that day 31 was really one because it was a 30-day month. The problem arose that the Tzedukim wanted to mess up the Jews. And therefore, what did they do? They would go up on this night when there was really no fire was going to be lit because there were no Edim. Really, the next day was going to be Rosh Chodesh, not the day that it just ended. And someone went up there and lit a fire. Now, the guy who was 100 miles away, he didn't realize that there really shouldn't have been a fire. So he lit a fire, and he lit a fire, he lit a fire, and everybody thought that the day that had just ended was Rosh Chodesh, when really the next day should have been Rosh Chodesh. And that caused major problems. And therefore, and we did this Mishnah about the Shlichim, they switched it. There's another Mishnah, the one that we didn't do, which says that Mishakilkalu, when the Tzedukim ruined things, so they had to make a new Takana, no more fires. From then on, they sent messengers. Now this was during the time period of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So we're already at the end of the Tanaim, which means that up until that time, they used the fire method. Using the fire method, how many days did you keep? Well, if the fire got to you, and you knew which day was Rosh Chodesh, so that month, let's say this was Nisan, and we're going to have Pesach, you kept one day, even if you lived in Bavel. Why? Because if you knew which day was Rosh Chodesh, you knew which day was Pesach. Why would you keep 2 days of the first day of Pesach? You know what day is the right day. You know what day is Tesvav Nisan. So, at the time period of Re'iyah, it was based on what you knew. Some people might not have known. It could be somebody lived across an ocean and there were no mountains and they weren't able to get the fire message across. And you lived in Japan. So if you were living in Japan during that time, in a Hanami, you would have to keep 2 days because you didn't know, was this day Rosh Chodesh or this day Rosh Chodesh? But anyone who knew kept 1 day. Now the fires didn't work, as we mentioned, because eventually it got messed up, so they switched to sending out messengers, okay? As soon as Beis Din knew, horsemen would rush out and start to spread the message. It was the same idea, though, that as soon as they got Edus on day 30, that someone saw it the night before, they would go out and send a message to whoever they can. They would go through the towns announcing, today was Rosh Chodesh. If they got there in 2 days, they would say, 2 days ago was Rosh Chodesh. If they got there in 7 days, now how long did they have? They had until Yontif. So as far as they could get before Yontif is as far as they would get. Whoever got the message, now they couldn't travel. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order to come to report that you saw the new moon. But in order to spread the word, not Mechal Shabbos for that. So therefore, the messengers would not travel on Shabbos. So talking about 15 days, they would hit 2 Shabboses during that time. If it was Tishrei, and we want to know what time Sukkot is, they had to take a break for Rosh Hashanah, 2 days for Rosh Hashanah. They had to take a break for Yom Kippur. They also had to take a break for Shabbos. So it's not like they always had 15 days. And that's why the Rambam says 10 days. Because 10 days is going to be, well, if we count Rosh Hashanah, if we count Yom Kippur, for Tishrei, that's going to be the amount of time. So it was the same story, though. Everything at this point was based on what you knew. If the messengers got to your town and told you, so then you kept 1 day. If the messengers did not get to your town, now why wouldn't they have gotten to your town? Either you lived further away than that. They weren't able to make it all the way to Bavel, let's say. Maybe you lived someplace over the ocean and there was no messengers going there. Maybe you lived in a cave by yourself writing poetry and the messengers didn't know about you. So they weren't coming by your cave to tell you. So there could have been lots of just mitzvahs reasons of why maybe there was a war and therefore that area wasn't able to be reached. So Rebbe switched it from sending, and that would mean, by the way, that in some years, maybe you would know. Let's say there was a war 1 year. So if you knew, you knew. If you didn't know, you kept 2 days. And that's how things worked during the time period up until Rebbe. Everything was based on one thing, knowledge. Did you know or not? And therefore, if you live in Muncie and you were visiting Eretz Yisrael for the year in Yeshiva, and you were in Eretz Yisrael, how many days would you keep? Poshet. How many days would you keep? One day. Why? Because you knew. You were in Yerushalayim, you were in Shalavim. The messengers came to Shalavim. So you knew. And that was it. Nothing to discuss. And that's because back then it was based on knowledge. Fast forward now, and we're getting into the time period of the Amoraim. We're after Rebbe. And we're after the fires, and we're after the messengers. The messengers are still going out. But at a certain point, the messengers are going out. We're told, Shalchu Mitam. Now, whenever the Gemara says Shalchu Mitam, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that's Rav Elazar ben Hiddas. The reason why I'm telling you that is because we're trying to historically put things into place where things are falling out historically. Rav Elazar ben Hiddas is Stam Rebbe Elazar in the Gemara. Now, there's Rebbe Elazar who's a Tana. I believe that's Rav Elazar ben Arach. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about Amoraim. Stam Rebbe Elazar in the Gemara is Rebbe Elazar ben Pidas. He was a Talmud of Rebbe Yochanan. He's like two generations or so into the Amoraim. He's an Amora in Eretz Yisrael. And Rebbe Elazar ben Pidas says as follows. He took over the yeshiva in Tiberia after Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they were the Gedolei Ador. Their Talmud, or Talmud of Rebbe Yochanan, Rebbe Elazar ben Pidas. So Rebbe Elazar ben Pidas, Shalchu Mitam, what did he say? He said, Tizharu b'minag avosechem b'yodechem. He sent a message to Babel. And he told the Jews in Babel, you've got to keep 2 days. That was the statement that he meant, that he said. At this point, for sure, already now at this point, there's a shift in how we're doing things in Chutz Laretz. It's no longer based on what you know. It's now based on where you are. And places that traditionally kept 2 days because they couldn't be reached by the shlichim, so they would continue to keep 2 days even if they found out when the right time was. Let's say they developed a super fast horse that year and he was able to get there in time. Let's say the way Shabbos worked out in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they were able to get an extra day. Doesn't matter. Hisharu b'minag avosechem yodechem. We're making a takana, and that's the lashon you see in the Rishonim. Even though it's called a minog, you saw the Ran goes out of his way to say this is not a minog like Halel Anosh Chodesh is a minog. This minog just means a hanhaga, the way they acted. But it was a formal takana, and the formal takana was in Chutz Laretz in Bavel, you keep 2 days, whether you know or not. This is the big shift, where it went from knowledge, to it's not based on knowledge anymore. It's just a takana. Now, you realize that in Eretz Yisrael, they were still doing things al pi cheshvin, and the rule in Eretz Yisrael was still based on what you knew and what you didn't know. So if you lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the shlichim got to you, you kept 1 day. If the shlichim didn't get to you, you kept 2 days. At this point in Eretz Yisrael, it's still based on knowledge. If you're in your cave writing poetry, and the shlichim don't get to you, you're keeping 2 days. And that's only because you don't know. So if you're about to keep 2 days, and you invite people over for the second day, and then all of a sudden a little birdie comes in and tells you, or the shlichim come, or your friend comes and tells you, by the way, I just want to let you know, that here, this year, it's 1 day, so that's it, you know. It doesn't matter if you found out from the shlichim, however you know, you know. That was true in Eretz Yisrael. But at this point in Chutz Laretz already, in Bavel at least, in Bavel they're keeping 2 days because a takana was made, a takana derabbanan, to keep 2 days. Now it's not clear exactly when this happened. We know by the time of Rebbe Elazar ben Pidas, it was already in place, right? Someone must have asked him a shaila, and he sent the message. It's not clear though that he was creating that takana at that point, because there is a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav and Rav Asi. An egg. Now, Rav and Rav Asi, there's two Rav Asis. There's Rav Asi in Bavel, and there's Rav Asi in Eretz Yisrael. But l'chora, we're talking about Rav Asi, who was a Talmud Chaver of Rav, who was a Chaver of Rav. And they're in Bavel. And there's a machlokas. Here in Bavel, if an egg is hatched on the first day of Yontif, is Horton's egg, is it edible? Are you allowed to eat it on the second day of Yontif? Well, that's a question. If it's a suffix, still, well, then one day is definitely chol, and one day is yontim. Of course I can eat the egg. It's a suffix. So, if it was bisman beis hamikdash, if it was before Rebbe, if it was before they changed things, what would be the answer? In chutz laretz, we are keeping 2 days. An egg which is laid on the first day, can you eat it on the second day? For sure you can. Why? Because everything's based on knowledge. It's a suffix. If you know the right day, even in chutz laretz, you keep 1 day. That was the rule until Rebbe, for sure. Everything was based on knowledge. Therefore, if you knew, you were able to keep 1 day. And therefore, an egg that was laid on the first day can be eaten on the second day, because 1 day is definitely chol. It's just a suffix. But after the takana, when Chazal came and said, it's no longer a suffix. It's now a takana kavua. 2 days of yontif in chutz laretz. What would be the din? If an egg is laid on 1 day, can you eat it on the second day? No. The answer is no, because it's not a suffix anymore. Even if we do have a suffix, but there's a formal takana that we keep 2 days. So sure enough, there's a machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi. An egg which is laid in Bavel, I'm sticking in, on the first day, are you able to eat it on the second day? Rav says you can, because it's a suffix. Rav Asi says you cannot. It's usser. Apparently, Rav and Rav Asi are arguing. Sounds like almost a historical machlokas. At that point, we want to know, what's the status in chutz laretz? The fact that they're keeping 2 days, and they are keeping 2 days, because the shlichim were not able to reach Surin Pobedisa in 10 days. So they were always keeping 2 days, but why? Was it still because we have a suffix? And if we would somehow find out, someone would call me on the phone, someone would create a phone and call me, I would now be able to keep 1 day? That's what it was, Bisman Beis HaMikdash and Bisman the Tanayim. If you knew in Chutz Laretz, you kept 1 day. It was Mamish Asafik. So Rav and Rav Asi seemingly arguing, what's the status nowadays? Have we entered the new Tkufa called Takana? Or are we still working with the Safik? And we just don't know, because we're far away. Here's the difference? This is the Machlokas, Rav and Rav Asi. So at that time period, we still don't know. It's a machlokas. Is it a takana or is it not a takana? But certainly by Rav Elazar ben Pedas, who's after them, certainly by the time period of Rav Elazar ben Pedas, it's a formal takana, and everyone will agree that Veitza, which is Nolda Bezeh, is going to be Asura Bezeh. Shmuel, who is a contemporary of Rav, Shmuel apparently held like Rav, because Shmuel makes a very strong statement. Shmuel was known for being a great astronomer. He says that he knows the paths of the skies like the alleyways of the Hardah. Right? Just like he knows all the ins and outs of like his town and, like Waze tells you, like, make a right and then a left and a right, you get back to the same street, but it took you around. He, just like you know all the sideways and side streets in your town, Shmuel said, that's how comfortable I am with the sky, with all the paths of the stars. And Shmuel says that he could get all of Bavel to keep 1 day. He can keep all of Bavel to keep 1 day. Why? Because he knows when the new month is. And he knows when they're going to see a new moon. And Mistama, the Edom, will come at the right time. And therefore, Shmuel, sounds like Shmuel in Bavel, is keeping 1 day. Because he knows. He has such good knowledge of the astronomy, he knows what day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So Shmuel is holding like Rav. He's holding it's still a suffix in Bavel. Nol de Bezeh is going to be Muteres Bezeh. So it's really a suffix. Most people don't know. Shmuel kept it to himself. But Shmuel was an expert. He was keeping 1 day in Bavel. Why? Because he held at that time period, it was still based on knowledge. So we have a Tkufa where it's based on knowledge. If you know, you keep 1 day. If you don't know, you keep 2 days. If you're from Munsi and you're visiting Eretz Yisrael, you definitely keep 1 day, because it's all about knowledge. At some point between Rebbe and Rav Elazar ben Pedas, we switch. Could be that's what Rav and Rav Asi are arguing over. Shmuel is clearly holding that we're still by knowledge in his time period. By the time we get to Rav Elazar ben Pedas, it's clear. There's a takana, you keep 2 days. Now, one more point of introduction, then I'll take questions before we start talking about the Machlokas Rambam and the Ritva. what happened when Hillel Hanasi, when he establishes, he's after the time period of Rava, which is a little bit later, just to get the time periods here. We have Beis HaMikdash time period, we have Tanoim, which end with Rebbe. That's when they switched from the fires to the messengers. Then we have the Amoraim. Rav and Shmuel hold at this time, it's still based on knowledge. By the time we get to Rav Elazar ben Pedas, this is where it seemingly, maybe a little bit before this, this is where it switches from knowledge to a takana. Right after here, right around this time period, we have Hillel the second. And Hillel establishes a calendar. Right, we've got Rava and Abaye and Hillel. At this time period, now we're not doing the Re'iyah at all. So what's the din? In Eretz Yisrael, it's one day. That's it. It's one day. And in Bavel, we continue to follow the formal takana. We're always keeping 2 days in Bavel. Now this, as I mentioned, this is a real takana. They took it so seriously, this takana, that they ruled that you would make a bracha, for instance. Asher kashan v'tam tzivanu al achilas matzah. You make it on 2 days. We make it on the second day. The second day of Pesach, when you're eating matzah, you make the bracha again. It's a bracha levatolah. One day is not yontif. One day is not. No, both days are. Midrabanan. The rabbis created 2 days of yontif. So you're going to make brachas that are seemingly bracha levatolahs. You're not going to wear tefillin on the last day. If you don't wear on Chol Hamoed, you're also not going to wear on the first day of Chol Hamoed. The last day of Pesach, you're not wearing tefillin. You're keeping an extra day. So this is how seriously they took this takana. Okay. Here we have a major machlokas, and this really brings us into our sugya now of Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios L'maisa for nowadays. We have clarified now, trying to put the historical pieces together, although as you see, it's not so easy to put all the pieces together. What we do know for sure was that at some point in history, certainly by the time of Elazar ben Pedas, there was a formal takana. In Chutz Laretz, you keep 2 days. Now, even that one, actually, I just said, I shouldn't have said it that way. That in Bavel, they were keeping 2 days. The question is, what was the gedder here? Who kept 2 days, and who didn't keep 2 days? Who was able to keep 1 day? So the Rambam writes, which to us sounds like a tremendous chiddush. The Rambam's marich over a bunch of halachos, and the Rambam says it's based on one question. Where did the shlichim normally get in Tishrei? Now, why Tishrei? As we said, Tishrei, there were less days to travel, and we didn't want there to be a chiluk between Tishrei and Nisan, that some locations would keep, right? If you were on that board, if you were like 13 days away, so that would mean that in Nisan, you would sometimes be keeping 1 day, and in Tishrei, you'd be keeping 2 days. So they chose Tishrei, which is the shortest amount of time that you would have to travel, and says the Rambam as follows. It's based on two factors. Factor number one, distance. If you're more than 10 days away, you're out. You automatically keep 2 days. There's a formal takana for you. That's factor number one. Factor number two is Jewish presence. There needs to be a reason that the shlichim would have come to you. Meaning, if you live a 5-day travel from Yerushalayim, but you are in an area that is not inhabited by Jews, I don't know, you are in Jordan, or you're in Lebanon, and you're in Egypt, and you're in an area where there are no Jews, you live with your family on a farm in rural Egypt, in Suez, in the Sinai Peninsula, so there's no Jews there, even though the shlichim could get there, the shlichim didn't get there, because there were no Jews there. And therefore, for the Rambam, this is a super historically accurate takana. Only the places that were within the reach of the shlichim and were actually visited by the shlichim are able to go based on the calendar and go 1 day. Everybody else has to keep 2 days. Everyone else is within the takana. This is the sheet of the Rambam. It has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz. It has to do with 10 days and Jewish settlement. That's the sheet of the Rambam. However, as you saw, the Ritva argues, and the Ritva says, no. We're not going to start going every single individual city. The Rambam even lists cities. He says, Tveria, for sure, one day. Shafra'am, for sure, one day. He tells you the cities that were inhabited at the time by the Jews and where the Shlichim actually went to. Says the Ritva, this is crazy. We're going to do city by city? No. Eretz Yisrael, in general, cities in Eretz Yisrael were generally one day because they were within reach and Jews lived in the cities of Eretz Yisrael. So all of Eretz Yisrael keeps one day. And in Chutz La'aretz, generally Chutz La'aretz was not within reach. If you take a look at all of Chutz La'aretz, so therefore Chutz La'aretz is out. Chutz La'aretz is 2 days. Oh, but what if I live, right? If you take a look at the map. Okay? Here's Eretz Yisrael. Here's Yerushalayim. You could have a city right here. Let's make it really for sure Chutz La'aretz. You could have a city right here. And you can have a city over here at Eretz Yisrael. This could be closer than this. And yet this is out, and this is in. For the Rambam, that's not necessarily true. If this was a Jewish settlement, and it was within 10 days, it doesn't matter if it's out of Eretz Yisrael or not. It doesn't matter the borders of Eretz Yisrael. What does it have to do with the borders of Eretz Yisrael? This is all about the Shlichim, where they're able to get to. The Ritva agrees that Bizman knowledge, Bizman Re'iyah and Bizman knowledge, if you lived in a city over here and the Shlichim could get here, you kept one day. You didn't keep 2 days. It didn't matter where you were. If you knew, you knew. If you knew here, you knew. If you didn't know here, you didn't know. If this was beyond, so then it's out. Oh, but it's in Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't matter if it's been Eretz Yisrael. That was Bizman knowledge. What's the din now that we're going based on a calendar? According to the Rambam, you got to be within 10 days and be a Jewish settlement. At that time, when the Shlichim were traveling. Doesn't matter if you're a Jewish settlement now. According to the Ritva, it's based on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. That is a great proof for the Ritva. What's the proof for the Ritva? Shlomo Zalman brings this down in his Tshuva. It's a great proof for the Ritva. What does the Gemara call it? Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. It should call it Yom Tov Sheni Shel outside 10-day travel non-Jewish settlement. Why doesn't it call it that? That's an obvious, easy, flow off the tongue name. Why does it call Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios? You see, it's dependent on the Gola, the diaspora, versus Eretz Yisrael. How do you define Eretz Yisrael? Well, for the Rambam, that's not a question. But hearkening back now to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, for the Ritva, oh gosh, right? You're getting like nauseous? For the Ritva, we have a very important question. Is it based on the Gvulos of Ole Mitzrayim, Ole Bavel? I mean, it's based on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. You guys are now Talmidei Chachamim, you now know. Whenever you hear something based on the borders of Eretz Yisrael, you need to ask. Gvulos Mitzrayim, Gvulot Ole Bavel. How do we paskin? So I'll ask you, how do we paskin? Like the Ritva or like the Rambam? It's Pasha, we paskin like the Ritva. Although it wasn't always Pasha like that. There's a sefer called the Kaftar of Aferach, written by one of the Balei Tosfos. He was like the Marco Polo Lahavdil. Lahavdil. You know which direction I'm talking about. Lahavdil, he went around and traveled, and he was in pools screaming, Kaftor, Vaferach. Okay. Anyway, he traveled. Now that's the firm way to play that game. So he traveled.
Moshe
Dov. He was like the traveler. He traveled all around. He wrote down the minhagim. So he says an amazing thing. You have it here, the source sheet?
Yeah.
Look what the Kaftar of Aferach says. You tell me who he's holding on. This is Balei Tosfos 1300. The Kaftar of Aferach was kicked out of France. He was a Jew living in France, and he was kicked out, not just him, the whole community was kicked out of France. So he went to Eretz Yisrael and wrote a sefer all about Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Hina Charoa of Eretz Yisrael, Lud, yeah, we all know where Lud is, right? It's like where the airport is. Lud. It's right here. You can see it from the from Ulam Echad. You can see Lud. Lud is Ose Yom Echad of Yontif. They do one day. And Gat, Shlomo Zalman writes in the Tshuva, Gat is Ramla. Ramla is right next to Lud. It's like the next city. You can see both of them from up here. And Ramla, Gat, which is Elif Vachamei Shmeos. It's whatever, 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet away. is Osin Shnei Yamin. There they do, this is in the 1300s. In the 1300s, in Lod they kept one day, in Ramleh, not Ramallah, right? Ramallah is the Arab city. Ramleh, which is a Jewish city right here. In Ramleh, they kept 2 days. And he says there's also a city in Eber HaYarden, where they keep one day, even though it's in Eber HaYarden. It's on the other side of the Jordan River. How does this Kaptur of Erech make any sense? He traveled to Lud, he saw they were keeping one day. Ramleh, they were keeping 2 days. What were they apparently paskening? Like who? They were paskening like the Rambam. Apparently, Ramleh, because it's the same distance as Lud, apparently Ramleh was not an inhabited place. They knew. Bizman HaShlichim. And therefore, they kept 2 days there. So they were paskening like the Rambam. There's a famous chumra of the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav came to Eretz Yisrael, and when he was here, he lived in Geula, in the Geula area. And the Briska Rav kept 2 days, or at least definitely the second day didn't do malacha, because he was choshesh that that area of Yerushalayim was not, well, I'll ask you, why was he keeping 2 days? Famous chumra of the Briska Rav. He kept 2 days even in Eretz Yisrael. Now you're going to say, oh, he was like anti-Zionist, and that has nothing to do, whether he was or wasn't, is not the point. That has nothing to do with why he kept 2 days. He kept 2 days, why? Because he held like the Rambam, like a good brisker. He was choshish for shitas Rambam, and he said that bizman mishlichim, it's not barur that they lived in that area. We know that ancient Yerushalayim was from the old city and like out towards where all those Arabs are. You know, like when you're going to, you're by the Kotel and you see Silwan, all those like Arab houses on the side there. That direction was where ancient Yerushalayim was. The new city is the new city. They built in that in the western direction, out towards like Harnof, which is the really last edge. So, the Briska Rav said, I have a suffix. Maybe they didn't inhabit this area. Now, what do you mean they didn't inhabit the area? Someone asked me. I thought the Olei Bavel, they started in Yerushalayim, they moved out. It's true, but we don't know that they lived in this specific area. Who said they lived in the Geula area? They might have lived more west than that, but they might not have settled that specific area. And therefore, the Briska Rav was choshesh that you have to keep 2 days there. Now, the Stipler responded. Stipler was asked about Bnei Brak. Now, we know Bnei Brak, Zman HaTanoim, there were Jews in Bnei Brak, but not necessarily Rehov Rashbam. So someone asked the Stipler, and the Stipler said that he felt that since there's no break between Yafo, ancient Yafo, which for sure was inhabited, and Bnei Brak, you can go, you know, it's just city to city, that whole area of Gush Dan is called, that whole area, you know, Chalon and Tel Aviv and Ramat Gan and Bnei Brak, one just goes right into the other. There's no like separation between them. It's just once you're one street, you're in Bnei Brak, you go to the next street, you're in Ramat Gan, the next street, you're in Tel Aviv. It's all one huge metropolitan area. So the Briska Rav, the Stipler felt that since it's contiguous from Yafo, that's called Yafo expanded, for sure. And therefore, it's considered an inhabited area at the time, and even according to the Shitas HaRambam, you would keep 1 day there. They asked him, oh, what about the Briska Rav? So he thought that maybe the fact that there's a wall around the old city separates it, it's not considered contiguous. A big shiloh that comes up is, what about Eilat? If you hold like the Rambam, l'chor it's pashat that Eilat is out. Why? No reason to think that there was a Jewish settlement at the time. If it was reachable within 10 days, I'm not sure, it's pretty far, but if it's reachable in 10 days, but it's a new city. And the Rambam, he even says it explicitly. He says, if a new city emerges in the desert, so you do not keep 1 day there, you keep 2 days. So it seems pashut, according to the Rambam, that Eilat, you have to keep 2 days in Eilat. Without getting into, is it only Mitzrayim, is it only Babel? It's almost definitely not only Babel, and it's not only Mitzrayim. The question is, what about according to the Shitas HaRitva? Seemingly, according to the Shitas HaRitva, Eilat should also be out. It's not only Babel, it's not only Mitzrayim, it's not Eretz Yisrael according to any borders of Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Shlomo Zalman has a big chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he doesn't think it's shayach that within one political region, the term he uses is tachas shilton echad. He doesn't get into Shchata de Geula, he doesn't get into any of those issues. He just says, it's one political region. he thinks it's strange to have within one political region some people keeping one day and some people keeping 2 days. And therefore, we have a new Hadara now. When we're talking about borders of Eretz Yisrael, we have the borders of Eretz Yisrael for Mitzvos Atzilus Baretz. What are those? For Mitzvos Atzilus Baretz, like Truma and Maestros. What do we go based on? Ole Bovel. For other dinim, like Smicha and Kiddush HaChodesh and living in Eretz Yisrael and Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael, what do we go based on? Ole Mitzrayim. Now we have another Shita. For figuring out 1 day versus 2 days, it's not only Bavel, it's not only Mitzrayim, it's based on the political borders of the modern state. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman argues that in Eilat, you would keep 1 day because it shares the same borders with the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So, as we conclude this first part of the sugya, we hopefully got a little bit of understanding of how things progressed. I understand, and I'm the first one to admit, I'm not an expert in these things, so there are some, like, gray areas in terms of what was always the practice with the Re'iya and what the Cheshbon. However, we have a very clear machlokas between the Rambam and the Ritva. When they finally made a takana, and it's a takana, a real takana, it allows you to make brachas that would otherwise be a bracha levatala. It allows you to be mavata, the mitzvah of tefillin. It's a real takana to keep 2 days, nothing to talk about. The only question is, where was that takana made? We have the sheet of the Ritva, the sheet of the Rambam. Although we saw some people seem to have gone with the Rambam historically, Lamaisa nowadays, everyone seems to paskin like the Ritva. That's what Shlomo Zalman writes in the Tshuva as well. Halacha is like the Ritva. We go based Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. How do you define Eretz Yisrael? That might still be a little bit of a debate. But those of us who live in Chutz La'aretz, if we live in England, if we live in the United States, those are certainly not areas that were or in Canada. Those are certain areas that were not conquered by the Ole Bavel and Mitzrayim. Those are certainly areas that were not reached by the Shlichim. They're not within a 10-day travel back then, for sure. Nowadays they are, but not back then. And therefore, it should be very clear that in Chutz La'aretz today, we keep 2 days. Now the only question arises. Let's say I now come from Chutz La'aretz and I come to Eretz Yisrael. Now, don't tell me, well, now you know for sure it's 1 day. No, you know in America also. You know in England, you don't know any better now that you're in Eretz Yisrael than you knew in America. You know for sure what day of the calendar is. That's not going to help. We're no longer in the period of that goes based on knowledge. So what would be the argument that I should keep 1 day if I visit Eretz Yisrael? So we're going to get into a whole different sugya. It has nothing to do with the month anymore. It now has to do with when you have a minhag, and you go to another, or you have a halacha in your area, and you go to a new area, what do you do? What do you go based, do we say, when in Rome, do like the Romans? Or do we say, you have your family minhag, you should know that there was a minhag when they assered meat, chicken and milk. So it was Rav Yossi Aglili, I believe. Rav Yossi Aglili was not convinced by the arguments. He felt that chicken and milk should not be, Minat Torah, it's only meat and milk, not chicken and milk. Rav Yossi Aglili, in his town, they ate chicken and milk. That was when they were making the takana. He didn't accept, he was the posek in his town. There's no Shulchan Aruch yet that bound everybody. In his town, he paskin, chicken and milk is okay. So what if you were from Muncie, and you went to go visit Rav Yossi Aglili, and someone offered you a chicken and milk burger? Are you allowed to eat it or not? Are you considered, let's say you rent the house there, are you considered a member of the town, and now you can go based on the psak of the town, or do you have to say, no, where I come from, we don't do that. So this is going to be the question. But that is going to be the issue. The issue is not going to be, oh, we really know. We've already clarified what we know is not important. So tomorrow we're going to spend time on the sugya of Makom Shinagu. What happens when you go to a new location?